It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Meatball. Re-record.
You are a dick.
My name is Mark Chagall.
Fantastic. At 3 o'clock, I have my first Manhattan.
Go Red Sox.
Ah, 98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, and all of us during this coronavirus lockdown have had to sacrifice things that, you know, make us happy. But there's one man who this is affecting, I would imagine, more than others, and that is Mark Gemelli. We first learned of Mark Gemelli during St. Anthony's Feast, and here we are, and the news has come out that St. Anthony's Feast has been canceled this year. Mark Gemelli, of course, well known for his meatball stand, and he would spend weeks upon weeks making meatballs. Mark Gemelli, hello, sir.
Hello. Hello.
You doing okay this morning?
This is the, now you are this. I've never heard a melancholy Mark Gemelli.
Oh, you know, guys, when they beat you when you're already down, it's tough. Stop living here.
Well, you got a 1-2 punch because not only did they cancel St. Anthony's Feast, but apparently it's getting tougher and tougher to find meat, like red meat, to make your meatballs. And the price, I guess, is now starting to go up as well. So, I mean, Mr. Gemelli, where does this end?
Well, we had a good run. We had 100 years, and not bad. They had to do it. They had to cancel it. And I had talked to Nicholas about making veggie meatballs, and he didn't think that was too great of an idea. So here we stand. No meatballs, no feast. It's a year. It's a time of reflection right now, and looking into ourselves and finding new things. And mine has been a wonderful Italian brandy that I've discovered. So after the Manhattan, right at bedtime, I have a couple of biscottis and some Vecchia Romano brandy. And boy, brandy has a kick to it. I'll tell you that now, you know.
All right. So now you've been reflecting. Did you start a process of making meatballs, and then you found out that it was canceled, or did you just not even bother?
Well, St. Anthony's Feast is for months.
Yeah. But what I always do this time of year is I dwindle everything in my freezer out. Generally, I do it on purpose. Now I do it out of necessity. Because, I really don't go out and shop because of the situation. So, thank God I hadn't bought all the products that I usually start now. It takes a long time to make them and get everything ready, you know. It amazes me how this virus got into this country and has affected every form of life. When I see little puppies going up the street with their owners and the owner has a mask on and the puppies have a mask on, yeah, you got to take this virus serious, you know.
So what are you worried about young Nicholas? Because, I mean, he's somebody who's been sick before. He's caught, obviously, something that made him extremely sick.
His own feces.
As Fred, I knew, yeah, was going to say, yep. And so are you worried about...
He does not double flush, Fred. He does not double flush. What?
Nick is not a double flusher.
No,
so you're saying that,
especially in the bed. I mean, he was just rolling around in his own feces. Like,
God! Of course, I am. I'm worried about myself. I'm worried about all my children. My oldest daughter had the virus, and luckily had a mild case of it. And God love her, she's now donating platelets in New York City for other people.
That's awesome. I didn't realize that. So she, when you found out that she was sick, was it something that, like, tell me about what happened there. Like, did she, yeah.
She kept complaining that she had lost the, you know, no taste, no smell. It was more of a sinus thing when it hit her. And she said, "Dad, this has gone on for 5 days now. I've got to go get tested." Of course, she lives in downtown Manhattan, so I said, "Please, you know, don't go to a hospital, don't go anywhere," which was foolish because she did get tested and she tested positive, and she got through it, and then she went to test for the antibodies, and she had thousands and thousands of antibodies, and they, because she is in such fabulous physical condition, that she's been donating platelets to help other people. So very proud of her.
Has young Nicholas come and visited you at all, or is he just leaving you at home to be lonely?
No, I've met him out in the parking lot once or twice. I don't want him here because there's, you know, multiple elderly people here. So, you know, I sort of use a paper towel to hold a bag, to hand him the bag, or he hands me a bag. You know, it's you keep washing your hands, and you keep, you know, trying to be sterilized. But before I get off on a tangent, I want to wish your mothers each happy Mother's Day, and your wives, Mary and Stephanie, happy Mother's Day. And this year you have an excuse because all the stores are closed. You don't have to buy them anything.
No,
you know?
I'm not buying them anything. That is absolutely true. So now, what do you, when you look out the window, is the blue light at the parking garage still on?
No.
Oh, well, that is insult to injury.
It is. Other buildings are lighting up at night. And yesterday was quite fabulous because those jets flew right over me. I was able to see him and hear him. And you know, in the mornings, all your fabulous nurses and doctors are in their scrubs and they're walking to Mass General incredibly, you know, so brave. These healthcare workers are just brave.
How's the takeout over there in the North End? You eating good?
Yeah. There's no problem with takeout and deliveries here at the North End. Pizzerina Regina, I'm on. They recognize my voice when I call in my order.
I tried to order online like 4 Pizzeria Regina pizzas, and they're like sold out until June something in order to send it out. So I got bummed. That's all I wanted. I wanted a pizza from Pizzeria Regina, and I couldn't get it. I can't get it until June. Oh, it's mailed to me.
Wow, I haven't heard that before. That's, of course, when you live next door to them, it's a little easy, you know. You open the door, go out, and grab it.
Are you like Norm from Cheers when you go in there? Or are they like, "Mark"?
Oh yeah, here he comes, Mr. G, and I got the mask on, I got the gloves on, I got the scarf around the face. I can't even see where I'm going when I'm walking up the street, you know.
You follow the smell.
Pardon me?
You follow the smell of the pizza place.
Oh, I just have to open my window. That's what gets you. Oh, yeah. You know, you're here and you're saying, oh, I think I'll have a salad. And then you open the window and, oh, the pepperoni is flowing in the window, you know. It's fabulous. And all the other restaurants are delivering, too. So I'm trying to keep these guys working, you know.
Well, we just wanted to check on you because it seemed like as soon as I saw the St. Anthony's Feast, I was like, you cruel virus, you bastard. Now you've done it. You've affected our own Mark Jamelli, and we just wanted to make sure you're doing okay there. So you all right? You hanging in there?
I'm trying. You know, everybody has got to just listen to Mayor Walsh and the governor. And you know, we got to take direction. And you got to do it. And people are. I sit here and I look at four streets in front of me and busy streets. And, of course, there's no cars. There's no traffic. There's no horns beeping, you know. So it's a new Boston. It's a new world. And I'm doing fine. Hey, I'm still here. So right. Maybe alcohol is the cure. You don't know.
So are you still waiting till 3 o'clock for your first Manhattan?
You know, it's hard, Fred. It really is. But I do. I wait till 3 because if I have it before 3, I'm passed out by 2:30. So I have my first at 3, my second at 4, and then around 6 o'clock or when the task force comes on the TV, that's when I pour the first brandy because I just and then as our fearless leader starts talking, I then start in on the biscotti. So it is called stress eating and stress drinking, gentlemen. It really is.
Well, Mark Jamelli, it's always wonderful to hear your voice, and we're glad that you are getting through this and that you live so close to Pizza Regina and that they recognize your voice and they call you Mr. G. We love all of that. And thank you so much for talking to us.
Fellas, be safe. Have a great, you know, whatever. And be careful. That's all right, we can say.
I
want to say this, please. The best news anywhere is John Wallach's news because everything else sort of stinks right now. So
what news is that?
John Wallach.
Oh, like his reading? Oh, like
just
the updates?
To the updates is what he's saying.
That is the best news of the day.
Obviously, quarantine has got you insane. So if you're complimenting
Wallach. Listen to him, Mark. You're a smart man. You're good.
If you're listening to
Wallach. And I'm still a little drunk.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with that. All right, Mr. Jamelli, thank you so much for the time.
Guys, take care, travel safe, and wear your mask. That's all I say.
All right, so God bless you. We'll be right back.
I do not believe that college football would be played this fall unless there are fans in the stands, and most important, Dan, students on campus. But I think the people that run these universities, the college presidents, are not going to take that type of hit. They'll do almost anything for money. That's been proven time and time again. But I think the look would be so bad. And while there may be a desire and a need to play to stay afloat, I don't believe the overwhelming majority of colleges will play unless they can get students back. It's not like the NFL where you can quarantine and get the players to sign waivers. It's real.
.985 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich. Is that Paul Feinbaum?
That is Paul Feinbaum talking about the college football season, where you have, you know, a bunch of the other leagues all kind of coming out and trying to say that they're going to, you know, push as hard as they can to finish things off, and the NFL putting upon an air that they are going to try to start the season, although there's many difficulties, and we'll get to that in a second. College football is the one that more than likely is just going to be moved, if they do it at all, because you can't have these students, you know, these college students playing athletics when they're not even allowing the students back on campus. And right now, all over Massachusetts, I know a lot of the colleges are preparing for what life is going to be like digitally for the fall semester. I mean, this is something that's very real. And these are decisions, by the way, that have to be made quick because you've got, you know, students planning their moving, when they're going to be coming onto campus, if they're going to be coming onto campus. So that's a decision that I would think if you're a school, you got to make by like June, the beginning of June. So you have several more weeks to ultimately make a decision. And he's right. You're not going to have a you're not going to have something take place to where they are going to say no students can come back to the campus because you don't think it's safe. Ah, you know, except for you guys who play on the football team because you make us so much money. I to be quite honest, I'm somewhat excited about their backup plan, and that is for them to start the college football season immediately after the NFL season is done, and that is the end of February, and have that continue throughout the like through May.
Only one problem with that. Only one problem with that, Rich, and we've talked about it before. Those schools in the Midwest that play outdoors, that's going to suck for them. That's
sucks
really
already
suck for
in December. You know, I mean, I think.
Well, I mean, look, Fred, you're from the Midwest. How much worse is February than November, which is when the regular season ends?
Oh yeah, I mean, it's February is a nightmare. Yeah, I mean, having the season in February is going to greatly benefit the warmer weather
Michigan,
schools.
Wisconsin, Northwestern, all those
Iowa,
schools.
Yeah.
Brutal,
yeah.
Brutal weather.
It would be absolutely brutal.
It would ultimately start in March. I think that the beginning of the season would be like when they would go to camps and things would start in February. At least that's the way it's kind of. So maybe the games would start in February. Still, February in those places, or March rather, in those places suck. You know, so it's not going to be the greatest, but think about it. As Paul Feinbaum just said right there, is there a greedier bunch of people in sports than the people who run college football? They want money, 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 money. They've profited off of these players who get nothing except for these scholarships that aren't worth when they're marketing, you know, making jerseys with their numbers on it and making tons of money off of their likenesses and things like that, where, you know, they are going to do everything they can to be able to have asses in seats. Because as much money as they make, obviously, from TV, which is huge, they make a ton of money from the gate, especially when your place holds 90,000 people. So they are going to do everything that they can to have a season where there are actual humans sitting in the stands. So I don't mind their plan, and I actually think that it's a great contingency plan to have, and it's a realistic one. Now you've got the NFL, which if you're looking forward to tonight's fantastic three-hour schedule release extravaganza, then good for you. I mean, what else are you going to have to watch? The one thing that did get leaked out before we get to kind of the specifics of how they're trying to move ahead is that this was from John Clayton, and I don't even know if John Clayton's right about this, but take it for what it's worth. At one point, he was Adam Schefter before Adam Schefter. So Adam Clayton has come out and said that in preparation for the NFL possibly canceling the first four games of the season. So if they have to either move things back or just completely gut the first four games, the first four games of everybody's schedule is going to be NFC versus AFC. So that means for the Patriots, that would be Seahawks, Rams, Cardinals, 49ers in some sort of order.
And Jared Stidham in his first four games as a starter.
You know what? Good. Throw him into the fire right off the bat. I like that. That's good. It's going to be fun games to watch. I'm all for that.
I don't even understand canceling the first four games. It's not like anything's going to get better. I mean, play or don't play.
It gives them a little bit of wiggle room. Whereas if you start off with games that truly matter at the beginning of the season, it doesn't. I don't think it's a bad idea to. I mean, if you can stack it, why not? You know, think of it that way. If you can get rid of those games, why not?
It's like if you're going to play, eventually you're just going to have to play. I mean, it's either you do or you don't. I mean, 4 weeks isn't going to do anything. I mean, schedule. If you cancel four games, what the hell is that going to do?
Here's why it might, Fred, is that the predictions that a lot of people are having, seeing that everything is getting opened up pretty damn early while the numbers are still high, they are predicting a flare-up like in August, the end of August, the beginning of September. So if that's the case and it flares up in August and everything's got to get locked down again, at least that buys you 2 months of hopefully making it go away for a little bit, and then we're back to where we are right now, and they might feel a little more confident playing football, right, whether it be in an empty stadium or not.
Wouldn't that take longer than 2 months to calm down if it flares up again?
Dude, it's been less than 2 months, and they're already opening everything back up since this thing first started.
They're not going to shut things down again. In these places that are already opened up, they're not shutting things down again.
Yeah, they might have to if it gets that bad.
They were not supposed to open in the first place.
Well, I mean, that's, once again, you know, it's like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I mean,
it's trying to drive while you're in the middle of changing your tire. You know, sometimes you got to finish changing the tire before you actually get on the road.
I can assure you that these states that have opened up are not going to shut down again. And they don't, I mean, they're just not going to do
it. But the NFL might. Like, yeah, it's but different. Even if the states don't, the league might. Like, if a ton of players end up getting the coronavirus.
If you're going to play, well, if someone gets the coronavirus, they get the coronavirus. I mean, you know, these guys are in shape. They're younger people. I mean, it's just, I mean, if you're going to have a season, you just got to buckle up and suck it up and have the season.
Well,
waiting 4 weeks is not going to do anyone any good.
I think that if like there is a breakout of coronavirus on the Saints, Drew Brees is not going to say, I'm young and healthy and I want to continue playing. Drew Brees is going to say, I don't feel safe. I don't want to play.
There's absolutely no way Drew Brees isn't going to play. He'd take the 2 weeks off and then he would come right back and play.
See,
you think Drew Brees, with 2 years left in his career, is not going to play this season?
Oh yeah, I think
you're
going
completely
to say
wrong.
I think that you're going to have veteran
completely
players.
Wrong.
All right, I mean, if you have veteran players who have families, I think they're going to go, dude, I'm not going to walk into a locker room that is infested with coronavirus.
No, they would have to sanitize the locker rooms. I mean, that's what they would have to do.
Well, I mean, it's going to be interesting, but the one thing that they are doing is planning for those first 4 weeks to possibly be written off or lopped off. So at least if it happens, you're going to see some good football or some – I don't know if it's good football with Stidham, but it's going to be interesting games at the beginning of it. But NFL team facilities are going to start at least trying to open up. As a matter of fact, there was a memo that was sent out by Roger Goodell, put a stamp of approval on there saying that facilities – could open up as early as May 15th. It's the set of protocols that he threw out there. And a lot of the things that there's a big list of stuff that they got to do. They got to receive consent from the state and local governments. They got to get like a ton of specific cleaning and other supplies. They have to create an infection response team that includes doctors, athletic trainers. I mean, there's a ton of stuff they got to do. And the NBA is trying to do the same thing, but as early as tomorrow. And Mark Cuban said, I don't care if our states open up, and I don't care about this memo. We're not doing it.
What is the Maverick stance on opening the facility on Friday?
Yeah, it's not going to happen. The problem, obviously, is because we can't test people, then we can't assure anybody's safety, whether they're basketball players or anybody else. And even though we can try to take all different types of precautions, it's just not worth it, particularly when our guys are staying in shape and they're going outside and shooting on outdoor hoops and, you know, working out in various ways. So I just don't think the risk is worth the reward.
So you've got Mark Cuban saying that right now. That's going to be an interesting maneuver, how they're getting all this going. And we talked about how the NBA's is completely strange. Like, they said that if, you know, the states have relaxing what their stay-at-home orders right now, there's going to be a situation where you can't lift weights with a spotter. The way it's written is very strange. Lifting weights with a spotter will be prohibited if it forces the player to be within 12 feet of a staffer. So does that mean that no one can stand with them, or another player can stand with them and spot them, but the guy who is cleaning the facility has to be 12 feet away?
Yeah, I mean, you can't spot someone from 12 feet away.
It seems odd. I don't know how you could do that.
Right.
Using magic, I'm not sure. But also, no more than 4 players permitted a facility at any one time, so make an appointment. No coaches, they're not allowed to be there. No group activity, practices or scrimmages. And you can't use any non-team facilities such as public health clubs, fitness centers, or gyms as well. So stay away from all of that. That just seems like they're just trying to say they're doing something without realistically doing anything.
Yeah. I would like to see them tell a guy he can't go to a gym if they're allowed to go to the gyms in the state. What are they going to do? Like, have a private investigator follow them around? Some of these things are just such PR. It's nonsense.
Yep.
But, I'm sure they're going to have full control of the facilities, too. Once you start telling people that they can come in, they're coming in. And, I mean, there's not a whole lot you can do about it. But hopefully the season will start on time. I really don't know why it wouldn't if they're going to play. I don't really know what 4 weeks is going to do, especially if there's no fans in the stands. But we shall see. A lot of these a lot of this is it seems very, very confusing. And at some point, you're just going to have to do it if you want to. And if you don't want to do it, then you're not going to do it. But at some point, you're just going to have to go, we're doing it. And if something goes sideways, something goes sideways. Rich, what is coming up in the stack?
Well, we've got Rob Gronkowski's the commercial for his brand new TV show, and it's exactly what you think it is.
All right, we will have that for you in just a moment. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub. The Stack is sponsored by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Go to windownation.com. I've been told there's breaking news.
Yes. This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, golf courses open in the state of Massachusetts. They're open immediately, Fred. Open immediately. So we are not the last state to open up. According to Charlie Baker, golf is back in this state, effective immediately. A lot of precautions need to take place, though. There's a list of about 17 of them here. Here are some of the bullet points. All staff has to wear face coverings while on property. Everything besides the course remains closed. Clubhouse, golf shop, restaurants, bag rooms, locker rooms all remain closed. No caddies, no golf carts. You can use a push cart. Players have to carry their own bag or use the push cart. All golfers have to remain 6 feet apart at all times. Groups of players restricted to no more than four players at one time.
And as opposed to what? As opposed to all the systems that go out there? I know.
Maintenance personnel permitted to work on the golf course 15 minutes between groups.
Okay, maintenance workers have been allowed to work on golf courses throughout this whole thing. But 15 minutes between groups, good luck getting on anytime soon.
They said golfers have to stay in their car until 15 minutes before their tee time. And must return to their car immediately following play. So they don't want you to, like, dilly-dally around. Like, you get on the course once it's your time to play, and then when you're done, you leave. They said that online and remote payment options must be utilized. All golfers must use their own golf clubs. Sharing golf clubs or rental clubs, not allowed. And we were talking about the flag sticks. They got to stay in the hole. Hole liners must be raised so that no one's picking a ball out of a hole. Like, they want it to be raised. Also, bunker rakes must be removed. Ball washers must be removed or covered, so there will not be any cleaning of the balls. Practice putting green, driving range, chipping areas all closed, and facilities must have readily accessible hand sanitizer. I'll tell you what's been like wild to watch are the middle fingers that have happened over the last week or so. There's an article that there's a golf course that was in Worcester that I guess has been like party time. It's been packed over the last couple of days. And when the police came by and said, "What are you doing? You're getting this order," goes, "We're an essential business. We serve food." No, it's not quite how it works. And that's how it's like, "We're not charging everyone. We got a donation box." And they're like, "No, that's not quite how it works." So there's one in Worcester that has been, they've been all over this for a while, but it's now, and it's not even like this weekend. It looks like it's effective immediately. The golf clubs are able to open back up in Massachusetts. So with all those rules, but those rules all seem reasonable for what's going on right now.
Sure.
Yeah,
I don't know why you have to raise a cup. I mean, you could put something over your hand and take the flag stick out, but
it's called a golf glove, right?
Yeah, it's amazing what they can do.
You have glove on your hand when you play. You see,
right?
Well, not both hands all the time. Some people like go Michael Jackson style, you know.
Yeah, well, no, you have to go Michael Jackson style, but you still have a glove on your hand.
You can use the hand that has the glove on it to retrieve the ball that you hit. Right?
Well, the epidemic. That you would get if you went to touch a flag stick. The amount of deaths that would be associated with touching a flag stick. But, listen, it's going to help your handicap. I mean, if you don't have to get in the hole, if you just have to hit the thing.
If it's like you hit the side of it, like it would a bank shot to the left, counts.
This is one of those things, don't blow it. Like, if you're going to play golf, don't be an idiot.
What are they going to blow it?
Because here's what's going to happen. There are going to be people who are watching and wanting to take pictures and wanting to show people, like, congregating in huge groups and, like, everybody, like, you know, groups backed up. Like, people are going to want to ruin this one thing. Don't blow it. Like, just make this a success so more things that can safely be opened can open.
I don't know what you could really do that would...
I guess this place in Worcester was a cluster F. I guess they were
because it was the only thing that was open. I mean, there's golf courses that just said screw it, like they said we're opening this week if you approve it or not. And I mean, there was a couple of them. There was a company that owns a couple golf courses that were just like we're opening, so you know, do what you want. If you want to arrest us all for opening our golf course, but if there's 15 minutes between tee times. I'm not overly if you're catching up with the foursome in front of you, there's a problem with the foursome in front of you. In 15 minutes, you should be able to get through at least a hole and a half. So, if they're staggering in 15 minutes, I mean that makes sense. I don't know why the starter would have to wear a mask, but that's entirely up to them. I don't recall the last time I was within 6 feet of a starter, but nonetheless, they have opened as they should. Because you got to give people something to hang their hat on. And so good for Governor Baker. And now I can, if I wanted to, when I come back from Tennessee, I can play whatever form of golf is there. You can use the tee box, though. They've not banned you from the tee box. Many, many rules. But yes, you can be outside playing golf. So that's good news right there. Shaughnessy was right.
Well, day late. So
yeah, right.
And I like how it came in a press release, not like when, you know, while Governor Baker was updating the numbers right now, because that's the thing that's why I didn't do it yesterday, because it was like, oh yeah, we got a spike. Oh, highest death total in over 3 weeks. Maybe I don't mention that we're opening the golf courses here. Let's just release a statement next morning.
So do we think that Baker is going to announce on the 18th that his plan to open things up, or is he going to start opening things up on the 18th?
Well, the plan has been 2 weeks of decline. That's when you would start opening things up. But now it's like so I know that yesterday and Marty Walsh has done this, and I think Governor Baker is contemplating this. There are businesses that can safely be opened up that are non-essential. And we're seeing this with golf. If you do it the right way, you can do it safely. And there's a lot of other ones that are like that. I think that he is going to make a announcement on the 18th that those type of businesses can indeed open. But there's a lot that unfortunately can't. So, I mean, if you're expecting everything to be just back open and like the way it was, that's not going to happen on the 18th. But will there be, you know, the ability to get takeout and curbside at places where you normally couldn't? Yes, you're going to be able to do that. Is he opening restaurants? Absolutely not. The inside of restaurants where everyone's sitting together? No way. That's not going to happen. You're going to have to wait a little bit longer for that. And I think that they realize that, too. So, I mean, you could say other states are doing it, but you could also take a look at the numbers of what's going on here and say it's worse than it was when we first went into the quarantine. So they have to, you know, be responsible at the same time. And I think that's the direction they're going to go.
I'm just wondering when we have to go back into work. That's my question.
Now, whenever it is you come back, you have to quarantine yourself again for 14 more days, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So whenever it is, say you're going to Tennessee tomorrow, right? Lucky yes. You get to avoid the snow that sweeps through here Friday night.
Right.
So, good for you. You're getting out while they get it. It's good. So, you spend a week, and let's just say, you know, you get the phone call. Company's like, Fred, it's time to come back. You're not going to be back here until June 1st anyway, right?
But what would happen is that I get 5 days in my contract where I can broadcast from somewhere else. Uh-huh. So, I would use those 5 days. And then my son's birthday is the next week, so I'm using a couple of vacation days.
Sure.
And then I would come back and be in quarantine for 14 days.
Okay.
So it actually makes sense to go down there. If I was only going down for a week, that would not be good. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't risk all this if I was only going down for a week. I mean, I have to quarantine once I'm there with my family for 2 weeks so I don't get my parents sick. So, you know... It's going to be interesting. I look forward to hearing. I think tomorrow the governor is going to start kind of breaking down what he's planning on doing. But Rich is right. I mean, if these numbers are not going down, we'll see what is allowed to happen. But golf is allowed to happen. Finally, golf is allowed to happen.
Yep, as of maybe 20 minutes ago. So there you go. I actually retweeted, if you, for some reason you just didn't catch all of the requirements. I retweeted the official announcement.
Yeah, there are 19. There are 19 things that you have to follow.
But a lot of them, you don't have. It's more about the golf clubs themselves. Just know you're not going to be riding around in a cart, and you are just going to have to wait in your car until it's your turn and leave when it's done.
Let me ask you something else, Fred, real quick. You said 15 minutes should be good enough to play a hole and a half, even if you're walking.
Yeah.
No carts. I would space them out a little more.
I guess you could get a hole in. Because unless you're scattering everything, unless you suck.
Well.
And you're scattering everything all over the place. Unless you're looking for your ball for 5 hours in the woods.
Those of us with 30 handicaps, that happens sometimes.
27, baby. Don't shoot 27.
Okay.
It's my handicap.
Right.
So don't you start putting words in my mouth. All right. What else, Rich? What else is going on?
So you know how I told you guys the true story, which seems like something out of The Onion, but it was true, was that the great state of Georgia, who's covered themselves in glory over the past couple of months, you know how I told you that they had made it so you didn't actually have to pass a driver's test in order to get a license during this time because, the road test. You didn't have to actually ride with an instructor in order to get a test. You just had to have the okay and thumbs up from your parents in order to get a license. Well, guess how many teens in Georgia have received their driver's licenses since then without a road test?
A lot.
100,000.
20,000 teens are now on the road in Georgia with a driver's license who didn't even have to take a road test.
God.
Which is 1,000 times more dangerous than them taking the road test. I mean, it's almost infinitely more dangerous to have kids that don't know how to drive driving than it is to be in a car with some instructor.
And you know what's great about this, too, is Wisconsin said, hey, great idea. So they're going to start waiving road tests, too. The old mitten of our country just sitting there going, hey, right here. That sounds like a good idea. Let's work for us.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, you're putting kids in a two-ton weapon. And just saying, ah,
and then
saying,
go amongst the others and just,
just go drive around. I mean, because, we can't put you in the car with the driving instructor, but here, just take it and go for a spin. Try to parallel park while you're at it. Good for you. Gonna do $10 billion worth of damage.
Oh, God.
I mean, when I was 60, I can't drive now. Without a road test when I was 16?
By the way, think about it now. Some poor kid is driving around his dad's Chevy Suburban who's never parallel parked before. It'd be worth watching.
Just parking a Suburban, backing up in a Suburban. I mean, being in a parking lot and backing up in a car that size would be absolutely ridiculous.
I failed my driver's test the first time. I failed it.
What, were you nervous?
I couldn't parallel park. No, I wasn't nervous. I didn't do it right. I knocked over, all the cones. I couldn't do it.
Oh, see, they didn't make me parallel park.
Oh, really? Oh, you see, that was...
Really?
No, we went on the road and just drove around.
I had to parallel park on a hill. My guy didn't like me very much.
Yeah, but mine didn't really care. So he was just, drive around, and I think I drove around for about 10... There was, 8 people in the car. So he was just let's get this done. So, yeah, I probably drove for about under 10 minutes, and then he was like, fine, next, and he just got in the back. I actually remember, I had chicken pox, and then I had to go to the, I got my first picture for my driver's license with chicken pox.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a fun year.
All right. Well, then you looked like James Hetfield normally did on the Injustice for All tour. I watched that off video of that. I'm like, he might have been the ugliest frontman in rock.
Yeah, it's funny that it's a good thing I didn't scratch him, or I would have been James Hetfield. I would have been Edward James Olmos.
Yes, you would have looked like V. Stiviano, the woman who was obsessed with Donald Sterling, I think, who wore the shade in front of her face. That's right. Let the games begin! Ben, as she texted.
That's right.
Well, there is a biopic. I know we've talked about how because of Bohemian Rhapsody, there was going to be a deluge of all of these different movies that are about different rock artists and whether they'd be good. Now that they're being taken seriously and people are winning Oscars, hey, why not? You know, Rocket Man seemed to do okay, and I heard it was a pretty good movie. You saw it, Fred. I never got to see it, but I heard it was fine.
Yeah.
Bohemian Rhapsody wasn't that great, in my opinion. I think it was way overrated, but what can you do? But one movie that really, they would have to F this up in order for it not to be at least moderately entertaining. Jack Osbourne announced that they are making an Ozzy Osbourne biopic. How do you screw that up? And if they do, I can't think of many people like he might be in the top 10 musicians that it's almost impossible to screw up their rockumentary, don't you think?
I wish that there was a documentary that was you know, covered his life. I'm a little concerned if Jack Osbourne's involved with the project because it might end up trying to make him look like, you know, a saint when they can. But yeah, I mean, if they just go over the like, you know, peeing on the Alamo,
oh yeah,
sorting up the ants.
Well, think about it. The best part of the dirt was the Ozzy parts. Like, yes. I mean, like when Ozzy was it, you're like, whoa. I mean, and even the guys from Motley Crue, and you've been reading pages and pages of how just like with all this debauchery, but even they were like, dude, we might have been bad, but Ozzy was the worst. Like that guy was way above all of us.
Well, the thing is that like, by the way, I read Tony Iommi's biography, so take that. Which was really a...
Was it any like, good?
No.
I mean, okay,
no,
all right.
The only thing that was funny is he's like, ghosts are real.
Okay.
But he's like, I've seen them. I've conjured them. But Ozzy worked at... And this might have been in Ozzy's book, but Ozzy worked at a machine shop before he was in Sabbath. And they had this like poisonous like chemical that made this gas. And every day he'd put his face over the poisonous chemical so he could pass out.
Oh, my God.
Like he just wanted to be high so bad.
I mean, the stuff that Ozzy has done and lived through, and I've told this story in the dirt when, you know, the Motley Crue's going on tour with Ozzy, and they think they're badasses. And the very first time they meet Ozzy, he walks off of his tour bus, and he looks at the guys from Motley Crue, looks onto the ground, there's a popsicle stick that's covered in ants. He picks it up and snorts it right in front of them and throws it to the ground.
Oh, well, like, that was okay. At a pool, and he was in a bathrobe with no pants on.
Oh, and he was sticking money in his rear end and going up to just regular patrons of the hotel and saying, "Pardon me, would you like a dollar?"
Yes. He just went to the pool with a bathrobe and no pants on, snorted ants, and then started shoving money up his butt.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.